From Eagle Forum, Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
With new and ever-increasing health threats on the rise, there has never been a more crucial time to support your immune system. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary new silver solution that is clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver and is powerful enough to help protect you and your family from deadly viruses, bacterias, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, highly effective, and perfect for everyday use inside the body as well as out. The Science Digest Journal says, silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern science. Supernatural Silver is the number one choice of thousands for improved health and immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver can change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com. And use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Chelation was first used in the 50s to get the lead out, but the doctors found it also improved circulation and heart health. Today, people still spend thousands of dollars to take chelation. The herbs in Extendovite were chosen for their chelating and healing effects to give you the detoxifying benefits of chelation plus the health benefits of the other herbs for a fraction of the cost of chelation therapy. People have reported finding many long-term ailments start to disappear the longer they take Extendovite. It is no secret that if you remove the toxins, you remove the causes of many of today's ailments. Don't wait any longer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming. Yeah, I kissed you then, and then once again.
Good evening. You are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network, and it is Sunday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and it's March 23rd, 2014. And tonight's topic is The Patient Did It. Yes, sir, Bob, The Patient Did It. And a lot of people wonder, how could the medical profession murder 861,000 people in 2012 and get away with it? Well, you have to obviously deflect the blame. And I'm going to go over some situations this evening and where the patient is blamed. And the first case is actually a near murder where the patient was actually blamed for the seriousness of her condition. So we're going to talk about that, and also we're going to talk about research that the medical profession has done to develop a cogent, that means wise and thoughtful, response to the fact that patients are indeed responsible for their own murders by medicine. So let's talk about this first one. So the first one is a case of a little girl named Bailey. And Bailey was 16 years old. And somehow she got entangled with the medical profession, and they detected a small brain tumor. And so her mother and she decided, well, I guess the thing to do is get this small brain tumor out. And they did. So they went to the hospital, had surgery. And 3 days after she was entered the hospital, she developed C. diff. So C. difficile, that's the complete name, is an organism that causes a serious, usually fatal, I should say often fatal infection. And it is exclusively caused, I'll use the word exclusively, this is the case, exclusively caused by antibiotics. And so if you take a healthy person and you give them enough antibiotics, they will have a C. difficile infection. And so doctors believe the C. difficile infection is, or the C. difficile organism is always there, but emerges in the presence of antibiotics. And so this person had a catheter in place. Now, when you have surgery, especially brain surgery, it is the standard of care to get something called preoperative, that means antibiotics before surgery. Well, what happened to poor Bailey? Miss Bailey swelled up with 23 liters of fluid in one day. Those of you who aren't too keen on your metrics, this is about 6 gallons of water. She could not eat. She had severe pain. She wished she was dead. And, of course, she was on her way to getting her wish because, as I said, C. diff is usually fatal. And her condition was called toxic megacolon. And what finally happened was the doctors told her mother that she probably was going to die because they didn't see anyone get better from this. And what they did is they decided to do a fecal, F-E-C-A-L, that means someone else's feces, transplant from a healthy person into her intestines. And boom, she turned right around. She was able to eventually leave the hospital. And this particular account of this story is a year old, and she's still recovering her full use of her body, although she has been able to resume high school. Now, you have to say, well, what could have been done to prevent this? Well, it helped to know something about C. difficile. So I told you a little bit that, one, it always happens in the presence of antibiotics. That's number one. Number two, it also usually happens in the presence of some kind of catheter or tube inserted in the body. And in the case of Bailey, she had, of course, I'm sure, a regular IV, but she also had what's called a PICC line, which is an especially fat tube that goes up and directly into the heart. So that's especially good for getting infections. And so, now, there's a lot of things talked about hospital cleanliness, you know, clean the hospital, people should wear gloves and gowns and masks and all these things. And I'm sad to say there's really not any evidence that any of that works. And a particularly aggressive individual actually just researched herself and found that 69% of patient rooms in the hospital are contaminated with resistant bacteria, and 42% of gloves worn by hospital personnel who had no direct patient contact were actually contaminated with antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And so here is what the .gov website says. This is what the patients should do. Now, imagine you've just had surgery, and you're 2 days out from surgery, and this is what you should do to prevent getting an antibiotic-resistant infection. One, you should wash up. You should do your duty by washing your hands, or at least using a hand sanitizer gel that does not require water every time you use the restroom or handle anything that might be a germ carrier. I would like to suggest that Bailey was not in any position to wash herself up after having had brain surgery, even 2 days out. Next, ask away. Don't be afraid to ask your doctors, nurses, and nurses' aides if they have washed their hands. Again, I don't think that Bailey's level of consciousness 2 days out from surgery was adequate for her to ask away. Next, watch that wound. They wanted Bailey to be sure to keep the dressing around the wound dry and clean, and let a nurse know immediately if it gets wet or begins to loosen. Again, brain surgery, 2 days after brain surgery, I don't think so. And this is cute. They say, care for that catheter. Now, how could that .gov site know that every patient at risk of this infection has a catheter of some sort, either a urinary catheter or, in Bailey's case, a catheter directly into her heart? Treat your catheter site as a wound dressing and keep it clean and dry. If the dressing becomes loose or if the drainage tube becomes dislodged, tell your nurse. Again, Bailey was in no condition to do this. Be part of the team. Be sure everyone involved in your care knows of any potential medical condition, such as diabetes, that may affect your healing. Again, Bailey may have completed forms prior to her surgery, but certainly at the time the infection emerged, Bailey was, shall we say, helpless. And they say, be sure well-wishers are well. Tell your family and friends who are sick to send you a get-well card instead of dropping by for a visit. And .gov culminates by saying, by following the preventive measures outlined in this article, you will decrease your chances of acquiring the many harmful infections in your midst. From simple hand washings to eating healthy, these tips are typically easy to do and often have multiple benefits. Well, I can tell you, Bailey is guilty as charged. So obviously, she couldn't have done any of these things. Therefore, she did not do any of these things. Therefore, Bailey did it. Yes, she was responsible for her own hospital-acquired infection, which devastated her life, left her at near death, and she was saved only by the hospital using an experimental method called the fecal transplant. For those of you who are asking, yes, they are now taking feces and putting it in capsules for people to swallow. So there. Those of you who are squeamish, technology is coming to the rescue. But this is an absolutely outrageous case where this teenager's life was endangered, totally iatrogenic. It may be even that the tumor they found was totally benign because there's no talk about the danger of the tumor or what they found. So we'll talk more when we get back from our break.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Give such delight. We all live before morning light. Please don't go. No, please.
Welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. I'd just like to mention that our call-in line for questions is 800-313-9443. I'll be taking questions at the end of the first hour. And healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com is the chat room if you'd like to come chat. And also if you have off-topic questions, you can put them in the chat room, and if I have time, I'll answer them. So that's 1-800-313-9443. Call in line at the top of the hour. And healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. That's our chat. Okay, so now, Bailey's situation is 90% deadly if treated with conventional methods. But if treated with fecal transplant, 90% live. Now, why was Bailey treated with fecal transplant when usually that's just not resorted to? A couple of things. First of all, she was 16. It's almost impossible to win a malpractice suit when you admit a healthy 16-year-old to the hospital and you discharge a dead body to the morgue. They just, as they say, ipsa res locator. The thing speaks for itself. So if she had died, the hospital would have had zero chance of prevailing in a malpractice action. Now, if she had been in the middle age, like over 30, or certainly over 65, they could have made a great case for, you know, the one thing leads to another type theory. So the hospital had no legal leg to stand on, that's number one. Number two, the publicity would have been really very damaging. Number three, her mother was just absolutely beside herself, insisting that something was not right. And she was very, very vigilant about it. And so this led the hospital / medical team to say, wait, we've got to do something to make this go away. And they realized the only thing that's going to make it go away was getting Bailey back. So when you have a situation in the hospital, really, your only defense is a vigilant and unreasonable person on your side who says, hey, this person came into the hospital alive, they better leave alive. Just that complicated. Now, if you're willing to let them talk to you like a stockholder or stockbroker talks about the stock market, well, we did this, and then your stock went up, and then we did that, and then it went down, we tried this, but it went up, oh, and then it went down and down and down. It's worthless. So if you're willing to listen to these dramatic stories about this happened, that happened, and the other happened, they will really waltz you right to the morgue. So you need to be very insistent or have someone on your side who is. Okay, so, but as far as the medical profession is concerned, Bailey did it. Bailey was responsible, and shame on her. So let's take a look at another common diagnosis. And this one actually is very near to my heart. My aunt is now in the hospital at death's door from this one. You don't often see it, but here it is. And often, I should say, you don't often recognize it when you see it. But my aunt is a dentist. She's trained in the medical area. She believes in science. In other words, the science paid for by drug companies. And used to work for a drug company herself. So she's quite serious about this. So she meticulously took her medicines for blood pressure and for cholesterol. And as I mentioned in prior episodes, a common complication of cholesterol medication is stroke. And that's what she had, a stroke. Not just any stroke, a brainstem stroke. And so now it's this big mystery as to why she had the stroke. Doctors are all befuddled. It's a puzzle. And so the theory being volunteered by family members is it was her diet. Yep, it was her diet. If she'd only eaten better, this wouldn't happen. And again, it's the patient's fault. Don't look to the obvious. Don't look to the therapy involved. It's the patient's fault. So we're going to see how things go. Does not look very good. But simply following doctor's orders is often the culprit. But instead what's blamed is some personal habit on the part of the individual. And so the way this is presently playing out is this is sad, these strokes happen, oh well. And this is a pretty young lady for a woman in the United States. She's under the age of 80. So you wouldn't really expect her to drop dead. And so, again, the patient did it. The patient's diet was not perfect. Now, another background. No bowel movement for 3 days prior to the stroke. And you guys know what I think about that. That's right. So constipation, I believe, has killed more Americans than really anything else. So drink your water. If you can't walk around the block, don't worry about it. Take some Vitality capsules. They'll be back in stock soon. I'm in touch with the manufacturer, and so as soon as we get these ingredients ground up and shipped to him, we will have them out to you. But it's very, very important to realize that a lot of medical conditions are simply, to put it blandly, congestion in the colon, are attributed to many other more elaborate causes. So again, in this case, it's the patient's fault because the patient didn't follow a perfect diet as a doctor instructed. All right, another one, colon cancer. Now, colon cancer is very interesting. In medical school, and I have to say, honestly, I never saw anyone die of colon cancer in medical school. And that's actually quite a statement. But colon cancer, I was always very concerned about because we were given in medical school very dismal, dismal statistics on it. Oh my God, if a person gets colon cancer, they're surely going to die. And so early detection saves lives, and this has to be detected early. Now, many of you are familiar with the detection process, which would be a colonoscopy. So if someone gets colon cancer, then what's always said is, well, we didn't detect it early enough. If only we caught it earlier, then we could have saved it. So let's take a look at the SEER, S-E-E-R website. This is a .gov website where they track cancers and all about everything. So colon cancer is 64.9% 5-year survival, which I guess is respectable. But if you look a little closer, what do you find? We find that 40% of all diagnosed colon cancers are localized. It means they're confined to a primary site. And if you have this kind of cancer, you have a 90% chance of surviving 5 years. It means at the end of 5 years, only 10% of the people who have cancer will be dead. Now, I haven't done a lot of study in this matter. I can tell you that in the United States, 0.8% of all Americans die every year. So a perfectly healthy American has a 0.8% chance each year of dying. So 5 years, that's 4%. So 4% of the 10% dead died because, well, they would have died anyway, perfectly healthy people. So really, 6% chance of dying from this colon cancer over a 5-year period, that's less than 1% per year. And so basically, if you have this cancer, this is not a deadly disease. This is a non-deadly disease, a non-fatal disease. If at the end of 5 years, you basically have no more than 6% that could have died attributable to the cancer. But this is not what people are told. Instead, they are told to subject themselves to chemotherapy and get chemo brain, get peripheral neuropathy, and other damaging effects. And again, we don't even know what percent of these deaths are due to having taken the chemotherapy. We won't even touch that theory. But if you have localized colon cancer, it appears that there is no reasonable reason to treat it. Now, let's take another look here. We have another graph which shows new cases of colon cancer and deaths from colon cancer. So you see that new cases of colon cancer peaked around 1985 and then started declining, declining, declining. Then a funny thing happens. The deaths from colon cancer stopped declining. So the new cases are falling at a very fast rate, but the death rate is not falling, stopped falling. This is in 2010, the latest year for which statistics are available. So what does this tell you? Well, this tells you that as of 2010, detecting colon cancer is not beneficial because the detection is not associated with reduced deaths.
Important is the air you breathe. Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survival.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light. Please don't go. No, please.
Okay, we're back to Healing with Dr. Daniels at the RVN Network. And the call-in number for questions is 800-313-9443. And the chat room is healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. Okay, so colon cancer is very interesting. So listen up, those of you who are out there who are getting colonoscopies or thinking about it. So of the cancers detected in 2010... they were less responsive to therapy. In other words, the death rates for colon cancer is rising. So if colon cancer is detected, the ability of modern medicine to improve your outcome is diminishing, is lessening. So it kind of calls into question the whole theory of early detection. And again, the 5-year survival rates start dipping downward in 2007, and this site stopped doing the calculations in 2005. And if you read the chart, you can see survival dropping at 2010 substantially. But again, if you get colon cancer, it's your fault for not submitting to early detection. As we can see by the .gov site's own statistics, early detection is apparently in colon cancer not saving as many lives as it used to, if indeed it ever did. And so what this graph shows, that new cases are declining, even though screening is increasing, is that there's something else going on unrelated to screening and, I might add, unrelated to therapy, that is causing the breast cancer, the colon cancer frequency to drop and causing the death from colon cancer to level out. So the death from colon cancer is level and the cancer rate is falling. So this means that what's happening is we're getting cancers that just are not responding to therapy. Again, not that they ever did. There's no evidence from this graph that the detection and treatment of cases lowers the death rate. There's not, the proportional relationship is not that great. And this is at your SEER.cancer.gov site, which really gives you a great colorectal explanation. All right. What's our next affliction where the patient did? This is my favorite because, of course, this one is definitely the patient's fault. The patient caused the disease. The patient never complies with therapy. Never, ever. And so any bad outcome is always the patient's fault. And this disease is diabetes. Rather than getting into the lifestyle component of diabetes, what we really want to focus on is the treatment goals of diabetes, what we know to be treatment goals associated with a healthy outcome, and what diabetics are actually being told. First of all, diabetes, for those of you who don't know the definition, is a fasting blood sugar greater than 135. And a hemoglobin A1C greater than 7. So, actually greater than 6.5. So, diabetics are told they need to follow a diet. And this is the reason diabetics get strokes, heart attacks, heart disease, kidney failure requiring dialysis, and nerve damage and stroke. And so they need to follow this diet. And I actually looked at the latest diet they're recommending for diabetics. And it was, it's a diet filled with soy, things like tofu, soy burgers, a low meat diet, high processed fake meat diet, and instead of dairy products, of course, soy milk and other fake milks. Now, those of you who've been in the alternative arena for a while, you realize that these things are filled with genetically modified organisms. That's really the last thing a diabetic needs, and that a diabetic on a plastic vegetarian diet is probably going to do as worse and probably far worse than a diabetic on a standard American diet. But this is what is being recommended for diabetics. Now, what else are they being told? First, they're being told they need to exercise. But what's the goal? Where's all this leading? Well, diabetics are told they need to maintain a hemoglobin A1C of 5.5, which corresponds to a blood sugar of less than 135. Now, if you look at research done by real doctors with medical degrees at medical institutions, you look at the .gov website. What does the .gov website say? The .gov website says there is a conflict because, and they don't say there's a conflict, but they do say that you need to keep the diabetic hemoglobin A1C greater than 7 and around 7.5 range. Why is that? Because once the hemoglobin A1C gets below 7.5, the death rate for diabetics shoots up. It soars. And so this is a serious conflict. So diabetics are told to keep their blood sugar below a hemoglobin A1C of 6 and below 135. And the research shows, again, according to DACA websites, that actually, even going with A1C of 7.5 to 8 is what's safe. Now, they've taken the trouble to correlate hemoglobin with A1C with diabetic readings. So a 7.5 A1C corresponds to a blood sugar level of about 190. So this means that if you are diabetic and your program is maintaining your blood sugar at less than 190, then with medications, then you're actually shortening your lifespan. You're actually increasing your chances of dying from heart attack and stroke. And this may be why it takes 714 years of medical intervention to save one patient life. So you need 714 patients doing exactly as they're told for 1 year before one patient avoids one heart attack. So if you're one patient, you're looking at putting in 714 years yourself of very hard work. So the science, the research suggests that below 7.5 is dangerous. The doctor's therapeutic goal is below 6. So we have then, we have zero overlap of beneficial clinical goals and what doctors are being trained to recommend. Yet, of course, the patient did it. So this is a case where the patient did it. So if a patient, a diabetic, has any problems at all, it's always attributed to the patient's lack of compliance, not the real culprit, which is their compliance. And so we have this follow-up study. The authors refused to be listed. This was at the .gov website. 5-year follow-up data from the ACCORD trial once again confirmed that it's better to target a hemoglobin A1C level between 7 and 7.5 rather than a lower value. In patients with type 2 diabetes and a high risk of cardiovascular events, so if you have a patient that's in a hospital, they're having health problems, you should keep their blood sugar, they're saying, between 7 and 7.5, which means no lower than 7, which is no lower than 170. And 7.5, again, is 180, 190 mark. And so this is a far cry from what patients are being told and more than explains the negative outcomes for diabetics under the present treatment. But, again, the patient did it. The call number for questions is 800-313-9443, and the chat room is healingwithdrdaniel.chatango.com. So what has the medical profession determined to remedy this? Well, they've done some research. They've taken a look at this. And since the patient did it, well, we've got to take care of that. And the name of this study is Patient Satisfaction is Overrated. So what they said is since the patient did it, since the patient is the culprit, and the patient is the reason why benefits not experienced, we need to address that.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblock, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Give such delight. We all live before morning light. Please don't go. No, please don't go.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the RBN Network. Our call number for questions is 1-800-313-9443. And we have our chat room going at healingwithdrdaniels.checkangle.com. Okay, so when we left before, we're talking about the medical profession's curious conclusion that the patient is the most dangerous element of the healthcare equation. And it is the patient's behavior, non-compliance, that's causing all of the medical complications. And so this needs to be addressed. And to address this, they did a study. And the title of the study is Patient Satisfaction is Overrated. And I'm going to tell you how they did their study, and I'm going to tell you what my experience was in my medical practice. And then we're going to talk about how you can avoid being the fall guy in this drama and being the tragic anti-hero in your own demise. So, this article appeared first in 2013. And this person attended a lecture on RSV. And RSV, for those of you who don't know, is respiratory syncytial virus. It's a harmless virus, often present in newborns. If the newborn has an immunocompromised system, then they can die of it. But usually they just have a cough for a month and then it goes away. The backstory on this is there have been many orphan drugs that the medical profession has used for this viral infection and told parents they need a drug or else, and the parents have accepted this drug to the tune of $10,000 plus per dose. And now, after many, many years, it's been found that none of these drugs are actually available, at all effective. And during in the interim, a lot of marketing has been done to convince parents this drug is helpful. And so this guy says he listened to this lecture, which says that RSV is harmless, and but he complains that if a parent calls him saying, hey, my one-month-old has this cough, and he tells them, hey, your cough's going to last about 2 months, and you need to go to the emergency room, then the parents will be upset, and it's easier just to give them a prescription for azithromycin. And that way, they'll be satisfied. And besides, he works in the emergency room, he gets evaluated on patient satisfaction. And the patient, of course, has asked for treatment, an antibiotic, which has side effects, and for a little baby, azithromycin is pretty dangerous. And he's got to give this drug he doesn't want to give, that he knows it's going to be harmful, because it will satisfy the patient and increase his patient satisfaction ratings. And they go on to give another example, is that this doctor, another doctor, was evaluated based on getting a patient into and out of the emergency room or urgent care center in 45 minutes, and then the patients administered a press gainy survey to see if the patient was happy. And because of those measures, this doctor says he has to abandon his role as a responsible steward of antibiotic use to keep his job and get a bonus. Now, this is so this is the observations that they're using to say, wait a minute, we can't listen to patients because what patients ask for is dangerous and harmful to them. So we doctors have to really harden up and ignore patient requests or patient satisfaction. Now, another doctor said he could increase his satisfaction score by 7% just by prescribing an antibiotic to all patients who complain of cough. And another one reported that he would give Dilaudid for minor pain because his press gainy score was low the previous month, and this brought it up and got more patient satisfaction. And so this person authoring this study says that he thinks that this press gainy company from South Bend, Indiana, has become a bigger threat to the practice of good medicine than trial lawyers. And they are the leading provider of patient satisfaction surveys for hospitals and physicians for the past 10 years, rather. And the government and healthcare administrators have embraced the patient's always right model and will punish providers that fail to rate well in these surveys. And so he says it's a tough thing to see a bad score, but measurement is going to occur. And Obamacare has budgeted $850 million in reduced Medicare reimbursement for hospitals with lower scores. So Obamacare has decided to use these scores to evaluate doctors. And not only that, but to tie it to reimbursement of physicians and hospitals. And so what this person is saying is that doctors now have to never deny a request for an antibiotic, a narcotic, a scan, which is an expensive x-ray, or an admission. One emergency room with poor survey scores started offering hydrocodone goodie bags to discharge patients in order to improve their ratings. And doctors face the reality that uncomfortable discussions on behavioral topics, say smoking or obesity, come with the risk of a pay cut. If you tell a patient that their knee pain is related to weight, that their smoking is worsening your child's asthma, or that they can't lose weight because of french fries and not a glandular problem, your ratings and pay will take a hit. And so they said satisfied patients are not healthy patients. And Researchers at University of California, David, using data from nearly 52,000 adults, found that the most satisfied patients spent the most on health care and prescription drugs. They're 12% more likely to be admitted to the hospital and accounted for 9% more total health care costs, and they were also the ones most likely to die. Now, let's review this. So a person who's most likely to get prescriptions will be more likely to be admitted to the hospital, will consume more health care, and will be most likely to die. Okay. And overtreatment is the silent killer. We can overtreat and overprescribe. The patient will be happy, give us good ratings, yet the patient will be worse off. So we must have the ability to deny treatment for patients' own good, and patients aren't the best judge of what's best for them. This is a very important concept here. So the patient, then, is the enemy. The patient is the enemy of their own health, and the patient has poor judgment. And so what are we to do about this? Well, if you listen to this study, then, of course, what you have to do is ignore the patient at all costs. So let me tell you what's wrong with this particular study. First of all, the patient is not able to choose their doctor. So you're talking about an emergency room situation. You're talking about an urgent care situation. The doctor can't choose the patient. The patient can't choose the doctor. There is no free will on either side. That's one thing. The next thing is the patient doesn't have a relationship with the doctor. He has a relationship with either the hospital or his insurance company. And the doctor only has a relationship with the HMO, the clinic, or the emergency room. And so there is no doctor-patient relationship. There's no basis for even relating. And that is where the danger lies. And again, you have to take a look at this survey they're using. Obviously, they're using the wrong survey. I mean, if you have a survey where satisfaction correlates with patient death and patient demise, then you have to question the survey. But there was, you know, this was not done. Next, the patient and the doctor, neither one has health on their mind. The doctor has to be obedient to his boss, who is writing his paycheck. The patient has to be obedient to his insurer, who is determining what emergency room he can even use. And also, the patient is not paying for the visit anyway. And the doctor is not being paid by the patient. So these are things that conspire to create an extremely dangerous situation, irrespective of a patient's survey. And more to the point, anyone who would be satisfied with this situation is probably going to be moving in a dangerous direction. So the measure of patient satisfaction is suspect. Now, my practice, the way we measured patient satisfaction, it was a pretty rough measure, but we didn't have any surveys. But I measured it. I'll tell you after the break how we measure patient satisfaction.
I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I could see them. Then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me.
Financial uncertainty.